Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast, the Show Me the Money edition. Coming up, my broadcast partner Dave Lapham joins me to discuss the Bengals' free agent signings so far and how they might impact the Bengals' approach to the NFL draft next month. We'll hear from tight end Tyler Eifert, who is hoping this is the year he finally catches a break when it comes to avoiding injuries. And I'll have a lengthy conversation with another Bengals tight end, CJ Uzama, who, if reports are accurate, is going to go from making about $700,000 last year to more than $7 million this year. All of that is straight ahead, but first, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Podbean. It's the greatest invention since beef brisket. I had some smoky, greasy, and super tender brisket recently that was absolutely mouthwatering. I'm sure it was horribly unhealthy and calorie-laden, but you know what? So what? Time to talk football. On Monday, the Bengals parted ways with linebacker Vontaze Burfict. On Tuesday, Tez signed with the Oakland Raiders, where he'll be reunited with former Bengals defensive coordinator Paul Gunther. You know who wasn't surprised? My broadcast partner, Dave Lapham. Before the Burfict news broke on Tuesday, we sat down for this podcast episode, and Lap predicted it. His comments about Burfict come about halfway into our 25-minute conversation. Lap, let's start by talking about the free agent that seemed to get the most response from Bengals fans, and that is right tackle Bobby Hart. The Bengals' decision to bring him back was not greeted with hurrahs, to say the least. Explain why you think the Bengals elected to bring Bobby back with a three-year, $16.15 million deal.
Yeah, that sounds a lot different than the three-year, $21 million deal that everybody was going nuts about, you know, at $7 million a year. But that's, I mean, $5-plus million a year is the cost of doing business for what you would consider to be a starting, you know, right tackle. The thing about Bobby Hart that I appreciate out of his play is his aggressive style. You know, let's compare Bobby Hart to Cedric Obwehi. Bobby Hart plays with a sense of urgency. Cedric Obwehi had to light a cherry bomb under his butt to get him to do anything in terms of a sense of urgency. There was none. So, you know, a guy that was maybe like a little less ability, but I mean, you know, both are very good athletes for that position. I mean, Bobby's got good feet. Bobby has good feet. Bobby's a physical guy, and he's a high energy player. The thing that you know that Coach Turner's going to have to do is curb the penalty issue. You know, the false start. And a lot of those false starts, you know, remember quite a few of them, Bobby's trying to get that little jump on the you know, the wide edge rush guy. He's just trying to, you know, and Bobby's quick enough. Bobby's feet are good enough. He doesn't have to try to cheat it. You know, he just play. Just play football. Play with your technique. And that's correctable. A lot of those errors are correctable. You know, the holding penalties, obviously, you know, that's just being a little sloppy with your hands. I think when you look at tape of him and how he approaches the game on a snap-by-snap basis at the line of scrimmage, he's a high-effort guy, you know. And, I mean, the penalties obviously would have the fans going nuts, you know, when you have double-digit holding penalties and double-digit offside penalties. That's killing your football team. You just can't have, you know, one person being responsible for so many potentially drive-stopping, you know, plays on a negative basis like that. But I think, you know, they're in a situation where two high draft picks didn't pan out. They pick up Bobby Hart and they make a trade, you know, with Buffalo for Cordy Glenn. They just don't want to go backwards. The one thing you got to make sure of, you have to have somebody. You just don't want to go backwards. So if you don't get him signed, where are you? You know, and a lot of these guys that are making the amount of money that not just the tackles are making in free agency is just mind-boggling to me. But, you know, like C.J. Mosley, the money he's making, the money some of these guys are making is just unbelievable. That first week, you know, spending spree that these teams go on. But I don't know. I look at Brown getting the big deal that he got.
You know, Antonio, not Preston. Or did you mean Preston?
No. I mean the left tackle with for the Patriots, making all the money that he made.
Got it.
I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, look what happened to the prior left tackle from the New England Patriots. He was the highest paid left tackle. He goes to the Giants, and basically that fan base is, if we think Bobby Hart was attacked, I mean, man, they paid him a fortune, and he didn't play well. Hasn't played well. I'm telling you, the Patriot organization, when he leaves Tom Brady with the quick release and all the game plan and the scheming that they do, it's a different day. It's a different day. And I think some of these free agent tackles get so much money that to me it's crazy. We'll see. I mean, I think Coach Turner likes the athleticism of Bobby Hart and likes his mindset. And I think he thinks football is important to Bobby Hart. And Bobby Hart played well for Jimbo Fisher, you know, at Florida State. And Coach Turner and Coach Fisher have a history, and they believe in each other and their evaluation of players, and I think that was a big part of it.
Here's my thinking on Bobby Hart. For starters, I really like him personally.
Yeah.
He was one of the best, extremely smart. He was one of the best Fun Facts interviews that I got to do last year. So on a personal level, I like him. Secondly, you've got Cordy Glenn back at tackle, but as you mentioned, no Obwehi, no Fisher. They're not coming back. Andre Smith, they picked up late last year, is not coming back. So you've got one tackle on your roster. You might as well bring back a guy who started every game last year. I guess my only question would be, were they bidding against themselves? Could they have saved a little money in bringing back a guy that did not get great reviews from Pro Football Focus and others? So I wonder a little bit about that, and I also wonder, does this now mean they are not going to consider a tackle with the 11th pick in the draft? I don't know the answers to those questions.
In my mind, Dan, I'm not sure they consider a tackle with the 11th pick in the draft. I don't think there's a tackle, a Munoz, a Bocelli. There's not a guy like that. But they will take a tackle high. They'll take a tackle in their top three picks, maybe even the second-round pick. I could see them going there. With the 11th pick, they might, but I'm not positive about that. You know, as look at the what people are saying and look at a little bit of how they play and what they did at combine workouts. And I mean, there are good ones, but and if you have a huge need, you know, all right, well, I'm not sure the value is there at 11, but it's there at 15. Heck, pull the trigger. But if you don't have one rated in the top half of the, you know, if you don't have one rated in the top 16 in the draft, I'm not sure you reach at 11 necessarily. Or maybe you say, you know what? I know there's a lot of really good defensive linemen. There's a lot of good edge rushers. Quinnen Williams is unbelievable to watch. The kid from Alabama, in my mind, is the best defensive lineman anybody could take. He'd make a huge impact inside, but I don't think he'll be there. But I mean, you know, Bosa. A lot of these guys that you talk about, you know, Bosa, Allen, will those kind of guys be there at 11? Gary, I don't think any of those guys will be there at 11. Sweat might be. You know, do you go with Sweat out of Mississippi State? To me, maybe trade down and get another third-round pick. Now you got 12 picks, but it's a higher pick. I mean, a lot of the Bengals' picks are, you know, in the hundreds.
They'll own the sixth round.
They'll own the sixth round. It'll be their round. So, you know, to get a little bit of capital in the first three rounds, potentially, depending on how far you trade down, that might make some sense, but – because if you have multiple needs, but if you feel like, honestly, when I look at Bobby Hart, last year's performances, Cordy Glenn you paid $11 million to. If I paid Bobby Hart $5 million last year, I would have been happy with it because Cordy Glenn didn't give me $11 million. I didn't get an $11 million performance out of Cordy Glenn. Cordy Glenn has to play better. Cordy Glenn has to get himself in better shape. He has to be more committed. He has to play better. Period. So, you're right. You have to have somebody. You have one tackle in your roster if you don't re-sign Bobby Hart. So, again, you definitely, with what Cleveland's doing, you don't want to go backwards anywhere. You try not to go backwards. Look at what's happened to Baltimore. Baltimore lost Suggs. They're, you know, the franchise's leading pass rusher, C.J. Mosley. They lost Weddle, but they got another safety. But they three Pro Bowl guys they lose out of their defense. Steelers, Pro Bowl running back, Pro Bowl receiver. You know, these two teams are losing players. Baltimore's gaining some, but Pittsburgh's not. So you don't want to go backwards. Cleveland is all chips are all in. They're going for it. So you definitely make sure you're not going backwards like the rest of the division has been with some of the players that they're losing at these other franchises.
And worth pointing out that the Bobby Hart deal, it's a 3-year deal for $16 million plus, but essentially the Bengals could get out after one if things did not go well.
And that's Dan, why I think there's no way they don't draft one, maybe two. But they drafted two with old boy Ian Fisher and went 0-for. I mean, they basically said, all right, we're going to double down because we don't want to just rely on one guy. And they went 0-for. So they're going to have to double down again. And I think they will. I think they'll address that offensive tackle position very high and then again a little bit later in the draft.
Staying chronological, the next guy that signed on the bottom line from the in-house free agents, Preston Brown. Middle linebacker comes back, another 3-year deal for $16.5 million.
Yeah, and you really don't know what Preston Brown could have given you. You know, he got hurt so early. But, is he a guy that can be isolated in coverage? I mean, is he a 3-down linebacker? I think it's a stretch to say that at his size, you know, he's a 3-down linebacker. I think he can play a nickel in a pinch, but he's not a guy that you'd have out there in your nickel coverages. But I do think another guy that from a locker room standpoint, great. You know, he's tremendous in the locker room, great leader, local kid. There's a lot of reasons to like him, but, you know, the curse of the injuries last year, it even affected Preston Brown. It hadn't been hurt in his entire pro career, hadn't missed a snap. Boom. Very early on, he rolls that ankle, and he's a shell of himself. I think he's committed, though, to playing under 250 pounds, which I think is necessary in today's NFL. And I think you'd still, in this division, in the AFC North, teams are still going to try to pound the ball on you. Baltimore's going to try to run it right down your throat. I mean, just playing Baltimore twice a year, you're going to have a linebacker that can handle the running game a little bit. Pittsburgh's still going to, you know, I mean, they'll run it, particularly losing Antonio Brown. But you know, they're a pass-heavy football team with Ben Roethlisberger, obviously. And I think Cleveland will try to be balanced. But I do think the AFC North traditionally is a very physical division. I don't think that's going to change.
And with the departure of Vontaze Burfict, it's good to have a guy back who knows the system, or at least – knows the locker room, knows the town, has some experience, and has a proven track record in the NFL.
And I do think with Vontaze Burfict, everybody, all of his teammates, have always said it's like having a coach in the huddle. And that intangible part of not – the tangible part being the physicality and all that and of Vontaze when he was right mentally and physically is a factor. But the other part is – man, the dude, he knew every nuance of the defense. He knew what offenses were trying to do to attack his defense. And Preston Brown has that kind of intelligence, that kind of football IQ about him. So I think that's going to be a help in the huddle as well.
Think Vontaze winds up somewhere else this year?
Probably goes to Oakland on a discount. He probably gets reunited with Paulie Gunther. Wouldn't shock me if that's maybe the first place that contacts him. And to see what he's got left. We talked about it during the course of the season. In my mind, the Vontaze Burfict that was out there the last couple of years for the Bengals was number one. Not afraid, but didn't want to get hurt and didn't want to get fined. So, you know, I think his physical assets had diminished and he was playing, you know, trying to avoid those kind of things. And it just affected his play. He obviously didn't have the type of impact that he had. I mean, when he was right, man, 2013, that dude was as good as I've seen. I'll always say that from an understanding of the game of football and being able to decipher, you know, anything quickly, he's as good as I've seen. Right from the very beginning. I'll never forget in the first 9-on-7. When he was an undrafted free agent that they got for $1,000. I mean, think of that, $1,000. Just pay his travel expenses to get out here. In that first 9-on-7, Mike Zimmer is the defensive coordinator, and Vontaze Burfict just about made every tackle. And I remember Coach jogging by, and I said, did I see what I just think I saw? I mean, what's up? He goes, that's the best. That's as good a linebacker play as I've seen. I mean, right from Jump Street, he was like, whoa. He just saw things before they happened. He is extremely, extremely bright in terms of his football IQ.
Let's move to tight end. Of the three veteran free agent tight ends, one isn't coming back. Tyler Kroft signed with the Buffalo Bills, but the other two are back. C.J. Uzomah strikes it rich, 3 years, $18 million. Tyler Eifert back on another 1 year, $4 million deal from what we've read, with the opportunity to make more if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, and boy, Tyler Eifert, you know, your heart goes out to him. It's just it's been, you know, one tragic injury after another. You look at his elbow, his back, his knee. I mean, you know, his ankle, his whatever. It's incredible what he's dealt with, and I do think that to come back and go through rehab as many times he has, as successfully as he has, you got to be so tough-minded to do that, and you have to have a real love for the game, obviously, and he's owed a season of just let him physically get through it and see what kind of numbers he can put up, because as you know, we talked about during the course of the year. Last year, 3-1 with him as a starter, and you know, in that lineup, and whenever he was on the field, the opposition never played base defense. They went nickel every single snap. So now, you know, you can run the football. You still want to throw it with him. He's still a matchup nightmare, even for nickel defenses. But you can tighten him back down in the formation and run the ball at him a little bit because they get smaller people out on the football field. So you're always looking for a situation when you're a defensive or an offensive coordinator where you're punching and the opponent has to counterpunch you. They're counterpunching. Eifert was the hammer, and they were counterpunching him. So when you have a weapon like that, that's huge. And they're averaging, you know, over 30 points a game and like 370, 380 yards a game and just looking really phenomenal offensively. And when he went down, it was the start of the – big dip in the roller coaster, and then a bunch of other injuries, of course. But, and then, you know, you got to love C.J. Uzomah. He's the ultimate team guy. I don't think you'll find one teammate in that locker room that doesn't love that guy. He's one of those personalities that, you know, he just gets along with everybody. He's a hard worker. I think he elevated himself in everybody's eyes in that locker room, playing through the injury to his shoulder that he played through. He had to take an entire month off and do nothing to let it heal. I mean, he played with a significant injury. And in the position that he plays, you know, where they're asking him to block quite a bit as well as catch the football. Man, playing hurt, that sucks. That's tough to do. So I think he really, really won over a ton of teammates. And then as a result of it, got himself a nice contract as well.
We'll have an in-depth conversation with C.J. Uzomah coming up a little bit later on this edition of the podcast. Let's move to a couple of guys that the Bengals signed as free agents from other teams, beginning with offensive lineman John Miller. Looks like he'll compete for the starting position at right guard, where he played for the Buffalo Bills. Based on his Pro Football Focus ratings, he would have been the highest-rated offensive lineman on the Bengals last year, based on his play for Buffalo. 3 years, $16.5 million, so not a crazy contract in terms of how much the Bengals are paying him. Kind of fits what they try to do in free agency. See if there's a guy that's played pretty well that maybe can elevate his play a little bit, and try to get him at a reasonable figure.
Yeah, and I think he's plug and play at the right guard position. Came out initially out of Louisville as a third round pick, and has played to that. I mean, he's a starter. And you look at how well Buffalo ran the football. Now, granted, you know, Shady McCoy, you know, gets some pretty good talent. But Joe Mixon is going to like having Miller out there, you know, running the football, blocking for him up front in the offensive line. Billy Price, first-round pick. John Miller, third-round pick. They paid their right guard and right tackle about the same amount of money, about $5 million a year in free agency. One of their own they kept and one that they went and got from somebody else. So now it's going to be interesting. I think Redmond is going to go into the Derby for the left guard position. And I think I'd like to see Redmond get up to about 3.25. He got down to 305. He was like, you know, he was huge. He was 365 at one time and melted down big time. I think he overdid it a little bit. I think he's really dominant and powerful. Not that he wasn't powerful last year, but I think 325 is a little bit better I think he overdid it some. And I think that it's going to be a very, very interesting derby. You know, you got the KG veteran, Clint Bowling, playing that position, who, again, where would you be without him? Kicked out there and played left tackle. Tells you what they thought of Obwehi. When, you know, a gimping and limping Clint Bowling goes out there to left tackle. So, yeah, there's going to be, you know, there's another guy, Rod Taylor, who early, went down early in training camp. This kid's got some feet. I mean, he's going to be in the fray, I think, at the left guard position. Westerman, Redmond, Taylor, Bowling. There's going to be a ton of guys. You know, and when all said and done, Dan, you know, when you look at your, you know, you look at your offensive line, you got two centers, three guards, four tackles, you know, for that nine offensive line. So, you know, it's going to be a very competitive situation. Hopkins is in that mix, center and guard. He'll probably be the backup center and in a swing guard. I think, you know, his versatility gives him a leg up there. So it's going to be extremely competitive. But, you know, four tackles, two centers, three guards, four tackles. Well, they're going to have to draft some tackles. Yeah, that's the bottom line. And I think I'd love to see the Bengals hit on the offensive line like the Indianapolis Colts did. Indianapolis Colts hit Quentin Nelson, you know, and then Smith at the right tackle position. Nelson at left guard, Smith at right tackle. Two plug-and-play starters. I don't know if you can be that lucky, but I think they can help themselves. This year's draft, Dan, I think there's going to be, in the first three rounds, there's going to be a bunch of offensive tackles. There'll probably be three or four go in the first round, but I'm not sure if 11 might be a little bit rich. It might not. But if there hasn't been a run on tackles and the best one is there at 11, I think you got to do it. But three or four could go in the first round. Seven or eight could go in the first couple rounds. And, you know, so, and then, you know, I could see tackles even being picked in the third round. Offensive tackle and linebacker are both deep positions. And those are two huge needs that the Cincinnati Bengals have. And, you know, that's why when you look at it, the two Devons, if Devin White from LSU or Devin Bush from Michigan are there at number 11, I know traditionally it's like, man, that's rich for a linebacker. These are two three-down linebackers, though. I'm not sure if you can't pull, you know, might want to pull the trigger on one of those two guys. So, you know, like I said, you know, if there's a run on everybody and that you had in mind and you don't have anybody that you have valued enough, you can always trade down. But, man, I might be tempted to, if one of those players, the number one offensive tackle or the one you have number one rated on your board or one of those linebackers are there, may have to think about that.
I already am thinking about it. You kidding me? I've been thinking about it for months. All right, let's talk about the other free agent that the Bengals signed away from another team. That is B.W. Webb, a cornerback from the New York Giants, well-traveled in his NFL career. Bengals gave him a three-year deal for $10.5 million. But from everything we've read, because I didn't know much about B.W. Webb, he was just a guy until they moved him into the slot corner position last year with the New York Giants, playing for a defensive backs coach who is now going to be his defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. And his, again, Pro Football Focus rating as a slot corner was excellent.
It was. And as you said, the familiarity, Lou Anarumo is obviously, you know, banged on the table for him, wanted to get him signed, particularly when Darquez Dennard, you know, was looking for $10 million a year or whatever he was looking for. Some of the guys that are still out there as free agents, there's two things, like in the first week of free agency when guys are expecting to go and they don't. Number one, they've overpriced themselves as one possibility. Or number two, there's some sort of a physical injury that has teams scared, whether it's a balky knee, a bad shoulder, whatever it is, or it might be a combination of both. And I don't know what the situation is with Darquez. I think $10 million obviously is the biggest issue. I mean, nobody is getting that. So he's having to readjust his sights there. But when it looked like, you know, geez, we're way apart with Darquez Dennard, let's go to a plan B, and they got somebody for a third of what Darquez was looking for, you got to make that deal all day, every day. And then other people signed, and I'm not sure there's enough left on the table, even if Darquez does come down to a more agreeable range if they can pull the trigger on it. I think they'd like to. I think they like him as a person and as a football player, but it all has to make sense in the salary cap. But it is interesting. Sometimes you don't know the physical state of players until you actually bring them in and your doctors put their own eyes on them. And in this league, we've seen it many times, players pass physicals with some franchises and don't with others. You know, there's some franchises have a little bit more, you know, they're not quite as conservative as others, and some have paid a serious price because of that. I mean, the Bengals have had issues with that at the receiver position in their past, and they don't want to get stuck in that situation again. But honestly, those are the two areas. Where are you? Are you pricing yourself right? And where are you physically in terms of free agency? But yeah, I mean, Webb, he's solid. It looks like he's a solid football player, a solid addition. They still have their two number one draft picks on the outside and playing Webb on the inside, and they got a couple of young players they liked last year that they can develop. So it's going to be interesting how it all unfolds with Darquez.
As we do this podcast, Darquez, I believe, is scheduled to visit with the Kansas City Chiefs today, so maybe right. It works out for him in KC, although I don't think he's going to get $10 million plus per year from the Chiefs. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that he does not come back to Cincinnati. Does that now bring cornerback back into play with the 11th pick in the draft?
You know, I think that cornerback is another deep position, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure that I go there at 11. I don't know. I'm not saying cornerback is weak in the first round, but I could see them going cornerback in the second round. I mean, if they go linebacker or offensive line in the first round, I could see them going cornerback in the second round, or I could see them going with the other position they didn't with that first round pick. But yeah, I mean, they're going to definitely, they'll take a cornerback. Webb was, what, a fourth rounder coming out, I think? I think something like that, fourth or fifth round guy, somewhere in that range. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a first round guy, but the Bengals have had good success on the back end going with first rounders, that's for sure.
What's your free agency status? When are you due? you got a big contract coming anytime soon?
Yeah, right. I'm just thankful to wake up and look at the grass, and I'm looking at the green side rather than the brown side every morning.
Lap predicted the perfect news, and I'm going to make a prediction about Tyler Eifert. I predict that Eifert plays in at least 12 games this year. His luck has got to change sooner or later, right? Last year, in the four games that Eifert played in before his nasty ankle injury, the Bengals scored 34, 34, 21, and 37 points. And one of those 34-point games was against Baltimore, one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. The Bengals averaged 31.5 points with Eifert and 20.2 without him. Since his 2015 Pro Bowl season, when Tyler caught 13 touchdown passes, Eifert has only played in 14 of a possible 48 games due to back and ankle injuries.
I was pretty frustrated, to say the least. You do everything you can to put yourself in a good position, and then something like that happens, you just kind of ask why. But, you know, once you kind of take a step back and kind of gather yourself, it's not the worst thing that can happen, and you just try to be as positive as you can and support your guys, support your teammates, and find a way to get healthy again. And that's what I've had to do. It's I certainly don't enjoy rehab or anything about it, but it is somewhat rewarding being able to complete that process and going through all that and coming out all right in the end.
According to Paul Daner Jr. of the Cincinnati Inquirer, Eifert's one-year contract is for a base of $4 million with lots of potential bonuses. He'll get $81,000 every time he's on the 46-man game day roster, and the deal also includes up to $2.5 million in incentives. Before Eifert signed his deal, the only Bengals tight end to appear in every game last year also agreed to return. C.J. Uzomah. I spoke with him last week, the day he signed his new contract, about a wide variety of topics, including whether he would personally recruit his buddy Eifert to stick around too. C.J., you became a free agent for the first time. Were you open to any possibility, or did you really want to come back to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to come back. Obviously, I was open to, you know, whatever happens. And I was very laid back about the entire situation, just because I knew that this was the business aspect of it, and I've done all I could do, with football wise. So, but I will say that, I am unbelievably excited to come back, and the coaching change and the culture change that's going to occur was very appealing to me, and so that definitely was at the forefront of my mind throughout everything that was going on. And I know the numerous talks that I've had with my agent, we had talked about that. That was pretty much what we led off with. So, I'm excited that it's over with. I'm excited to be back here, and I'm excited to, hit the ground running and really get ready for the next season.
You've been here for 4 years. What is it about the team and the city that you like?
I like my guys, man, that I have here. I love the interaction that I have with everyone, with Gio and Andy and AJ, Tyler Boyd, and we have a young team, honestly, too, which is crazy to me. Thinking about it right now, I'm the oldest tight end as it stands in the tight end room. So that's kind of a little eye opening. But as far as the city's concerned, I like how it's. I mean, it's in size, it's kind of a big city, but it has a small city feel to it, and I love that. I mean, I'm from a little suburb outside of Atlanta. I'm a suburbs guy, So it has that kind of small town feel to me. Love going out, and Gio and I find these awesome little like hole in the wall restaurants that we go to, and I love just being able to walk around and hang out and vibe in the city. I don't know, it's nice. I love it.
You've made decent bucks for a recent college grad, but if the reports are accurate, 3 years, $18 million, that's life-changing money. Has that sunk in?
No, yeah, it definitely did. At the moment it didn't. When I had heard the numbers and kind of my agent was talking about what the contract, kind of the verbiage of it. But, when I got to talk to my parents a little bit about it, I kind of just cried a little bit just thinking about how, the process that it took to get here and everything that had come with that. And, it's I don't think that I'll really understand it until a little bit later in life. But, as it stands, I'm immeasurably blessed to be in the position that I am.
We're talking to CJ Uzomah. You played hurt last year. There were times you'd make a catch, and I'd describe you coming off the field with your arm pinned against your side, and Lapham and I were convinced, well, that's it for today. There's no way he comes back. One or two snaps later, you were back in the game. How bad was it?
It was pretty bad. So one of the things that kind of like pushed me through, one was I know that AJ Green had similar things going on with him earlier in his career, and they always would joke with me, and they'd be like, well, AJ played through it. And AJ's response was, I didn't have to block anybody. I just had to catch the ball. But, hearing that, and, it hurt. I mean, it sucked. But at the same time, it's part of football. It's, you get beat up, and you got to love it. You got to really embrace that aspect of it. And, like you said, there were certain times I'd hit the ground and be like, I would be no good the next play, so I'm going to come off. But it'd feel fine, and I, kind of shrug it off a little bit, get back in there, and try to help the team win. So, it's kind of my mindset about it, and my mindset with injuries, I guess, in general. So, it hurt, but it didn't hurt that bad.
2 weeks after the season, after resting, it was okay.
Yeah, 2 weeks after, it felt fine. They told me to take a month off, so I kind of called a bunch of the guys and was like, hey, can I do anything or should I not? And they said, nah, just take a month off, just rest it. You don't want any residual effects from, trying to push yourself too hard and trying to do anything. So I was like, all right, that's fine with me. I'll take a month off of not doing anything on it. And then got back in the weight room and it felt like nothing had ever happened. So it's kind of funny how that works, but it feels fine.
You and Tyler Eifert are tight. He remains a free agent. How much have you been in contact, and do you try to recruit him, or is it a part of the business where you just let that be, and when he makes a decision, then you deal with that?
Yeah, Ive's my guy. Ive is my guy. We Gio called me on Sunday, and he was with Ive, and they were just checking up, seeing how I was doing and stuff, and, we kind of talked a little bit about it, but, it's kind of like one of those things where I don't really know if I want to play with my guys, our room would be immensely better with him in it, both, on the football field and off of it. So, I'm going to chirp in his ear a little bit, but I don't want to push too hard. I know, you know, it's a business in that way, which, you know, it is what it is. It sucks sometimes, but yeah, I'm hoping we get him back. Obviously, that's my guy.
He looks pretty good in the workout videos.
Oh my gosh, I have to give him the most crap for those workout videos. No, I know he has to post. I mean, he's posting them because, you know, he wants everyone to know he's good, and he is. I mean, he's he works his butt off, and you know, being able to see that part of him that, you know, other people don't. That's why he posts the things that he does. You know, because he wants everyone to know that. He's truly dedicated to it, and you know, we as in the locker room, we know that, and anybody that knows him knows that he works as hard as anybody else does just to be able to play and be with his guys, and so we respect the heck out of him for that.
You'll have a new tight ends coach this year, James Casey, who is closer to your age than mine. I've heard from people that he is like the greatest guy ever. I don't know how well you've gotten to know him yet.
Right.
But how excited are you to play for a guy that's in his mid-30s?
Yeah, no, I've gotten to talk to him a little bit, you know, and no, I'm very excited. I've mentioned, you know, I love Coach Hayes. Coach Hayes and I, we still keep in contact, and I think that he has helped me develop into the tight end that I am today because I didn't play tight end in college. So I have the most respect for him, and, you know, Coach Casey coming in, we're very similar in terms of, you know, kind of our background. You know, he played quarterback in high school, and then in college he was kind of like a slash player. You know, he was more of a slash player than I was. He played, I remember reading something about he played like 7 positions in one game, and I was like, dude, this guy's got it. So yeah, no, I've gotten to talk to him a little bit, and he seems like a great guy, and I honestly am looking forward to working with him. And you know, he's, you know, coming from similar backgrounds, he was like, hey, look, I understand, you know, the intricacies of the position that you have to learn, you know, not playing it growing up. So he said he's looking forward to, you know, coaching me on that. And now I'm really looking forward to building a relationship with him.
Last thing, you love to travel. You can afford first class now, or at least business class. What's on the itinerary?
I'll still be sitting, you know, the X-A-Row is my go-to. It's only like $15 extra and you get the most legroom. So I'm going to Gio's wedding coming up here in April,
which is in Italy.
Yep, it's in Italy, Lake Como. And so I'm looking forward to that. You know, there's a few of the guys that are going to be going there, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. So that's the only true plans. You know, I'm moving to Nashville, and I've been traveling a little bit this off season, but other than that, yeah, Italy's next on the trip, and that's the next big one.
Congratulations on the new deal. It is well deserved, and look forward to having you back in Cincinnati.
Yeah, thank you.
That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Podbean. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or leave a comment. Your feedback is always appreciated. And those 5-star ratings help more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast.